Are we all in? No, we haven't come. Right, come here.
Am I in?
No. Come on in. Come on, no circumstance, just come on in. There you are. Private place.
Thank you.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, in front of you is the rebuild of the Mark II Colossus with its 2,500 valves. Now remember, Enigma goes with the bomb goes with Enigma. Colossus is very, very different, and it never worked on Enigma. Colossus was specifically designed... Whoops, what's gone? To attack a cipher machine manufactured by the Lorentz company. This is a very different machine. It's a desk machine. It does not have rotors. It has what they call pinwheels, and there are 12 of them. They're called pinwheels because around each wheel are a series of numbers, and against those numbers, slots into which metal lugs can go. Pins into the pinholes of the pinwheels. When a message goes into this machine, it gets scrambled 12 times. It does not come out as scrambled egg, it comes out as custard. The whole purpose of Colossus is to establish the pin settings and the start positions of each of those 12 wheels. So we start off with high-speed electrical impulses converted into five-fold paper message tape used in Telequintus and Telex. The message tape is put into a continuous loop on the machine, and that particular tape is being revolved at 30 miles an hour. The magic eye, centre right there, and the Fitticilla reading system is processing 5,000 characters a second. It's analysing the holes in the message tape. Using the power of the computer, it's analysing all that information, and behind me here, you can see the camera. When that counter gets to what we call its optimum ratio, the machine will make a noise, and the operator then has to print the result here. Remember, it's got no stored memory. Every result has to be printed. Once they've got the first result up, they go back to the switches. Remember, it's switch controlled. They adjust the switching, because all they've got is the very first pinwheel. There are 11 wheels to go. Now, normally, these messages were very long, so it could take up to 6 hours to establish all the settings. Once they've got those settings, they move to another machine called the Tunney machine. And I'll be showing you a rebuild of this in the afternoon. This is a wartime picture of one. With three rows of unit selectors, and on the front, a large panel. You see lots of white pegs on it. The white pegs represent the pins in the pinholes. All the settings, of course, established by Colossus. So having got all the settings, they stop the spools, take this message tape, separate it, feed it through this machine once it's plugged up, and out on the rolling typewriter at the other end should come several pages of high-grade intelligence. Now Enigma, which had a vast volume of traffic, was used at what they call an army level. Lorentz was used at German high command level. So when the top field marshals and generals went off with their armies, they set up headquarters, send themselves off to fight, and amongst their other duties, they had to send regular reports back to Berlin, encrypted on Lorentz. In Berlin, those messages read by Mr. Hitler, and then he in turn would draft his battle instructions back to his generals. In a major feat of intelligence, unbeknownst to anybody in the world, the authorities here at Bletchley Park were actually reading all Hitler's private mail. Hence my assertion earlier on of Hitler's conviction that the main invasion would come across the Straits of Dover, not Normandy, which his generals deemed so to be. He thought it was a fake. So just one of the many examples of what it's all about. 2,500 valves. Well, valves are very resilient. Unfortunately, these valves are not made anymore. So it leads me to the first of my two appeals. Of the valves on this machine, 40 are wartime valves, and in fact, there's one here. It's the wartime valve, that one there. We've got spares to keep screen for 10 years. For 10 sales, in the 10 years, we won't be a problem. So my first appeal is for valves. If you know anybody's got any valves, in fact, or in this machine, or other valves, doesn't matter where they are, in a warehouse, or back room, attic, garden shed, back of the larder, wherever it might be, please gather them up, bring them to the Bletchley Park, so we trade them for the ones we want, and hopefully keep this machine going on for longer. Because this is rebuilt as it was, and come a time when somebody's going to have to adapt it to keep it running, but with other modern-day transistors and everything else. But in the meantime, that's the appeal. Obviously, if you're interested in Colossus, there is a major website. It's called codesandciphers.org.uk. If you can't remember that site, type Colossus into Google, and then look for Anoraks or Nerds Corner. And if you're on broadband in particular, press the button, and all I can say is, God bless your cotton socks. When you compare the activities of this machine today to the modern-day, say, Pentium PC, the latest chip in it, you will find the modern-day PC takes exactly the same time as this did 65 years ago. This machine is very fast. Why? Because the engineers applied direct logic, and they also wired the whole of this machine in parallel. That's why it's so fast. A modern-day machine is not in parallel, it bounces up and down, so it ends up in taking exactly the same time to do the same function. Now, this exercise has taken considerable time. When Tony Sales started off this venture, he had nothing. But he did manage to trace 8 black-and-white photographs. Equally, at the time, British Telecom were upgrading telephone exchanges and going digital. So he placed up all the strap and was able to assemble all the units on the frame. Then he had a major problem. How do you wire this machine? There's no information whatsoever. Luckily, having announced the project, certain post office engineers came out of the woodwork and provided certain wiring diagrams. And there's an example one at the end there. But the rest of the work has been literally trial and error. The overall project has taken over 13 years. Teams of four working any one time, and they've expended excess of 6,500 man days in this project. But the joy is, it's up, it's running, and it's got a wonderful first. I've been the first programmable computer, obviously, switch controlled, and no small memory, which doesn't have to be printed here. Which now leads me, because we've got some very dedicated engineers here, to my second appeal. Very bravely, they've taken over the whole of this building. It's available with various fat stations and corridors down the far end to form a new museum. They've also been collecting computers. And they form what they call the National Museum of Computers, or Computing. It starts with an abacus, it goes through all the comptometers, counting machines, etc., through all the analog computers, right the way through to the latest day. And amongst the attractions, we've got a series of PCs with old-fashioned games on, so the kids have more fun here than they do at home with the modern-day television. For those who are interested because of the CAA connections, we've also got a ground radar control centre here, which monitors all the aircraft going into Gatwick, Heathrow, Luton, Stansted, etc. And on a day like today, if you watch that radar, you can hear the conversations, go outside and see the plane in question flying overhead. All a bit of fun. And if you want to learn to fly, well, we've got a simulator here. And you won't get blamed if you crash the plane. It's on their behalf because they've assumed very bravely all the overheads for this building, utility bills and the like, which are expensive. Remember, this machine alone uses 5.5 kilowatts of juice to run. So, to preserve it, they've got a very special transformer down there which powers it up in the morning and takes it down gently at night so we don't lose any balance. But they've assumed all these responsibilities for the overheads. So it's on their behalf because computers are there and used in offices, homes, schools in particular, and we are a major education centre here. We get up to 3 schools a day coming to be educated. Quite fascinating, and they love it. So we've got various collection boxes, and what I would say is, if everybody has the benefit of a computer, it's got a minimum of £1 in those boxes. We're trying to raise an endowment that will keep this operation totally independent and free of charge for all our visitors in perpetuity. It is a magnificent venture and a very brave one at that. Unfortunately, our visitors will always have to pay the gate money because Let's Give Out Trust has to survive as well. So I'll leave that challenge with you. And we have a guy with a ghastly voice. But anyway, the computer museum is open, so there we go. Now, are you happy about the explanation of Colossus? Do we have any technical questions? Because I have now had to defer on those to my colleagues.
It was reported that the tape would eventually cut through some of the stainless steel. How did that work?
The aluminium.
The aluminium.
It does wear.
It does wear.
Yeah, it will wear. You can see that it's shiny when it starts
to consume the Right, ladies and gentlemen, if you're happy with Colossus and you've got no other questions, what we'll do is we'll go through this door here, turn right, go to the far end of the corridor and turn right again, please. A couple more items to show you.